I'm here with NPR's John Hamilton and Dr. Wayne Riley, president of SUNY Downstate, and we are talking about your questions about disparities in treatment and outcomes for coronavirus patients. Dr. Riley, Bruce in Ohio writes, are we looking at the genome of the people who have perished to see if there is a particular group that is more susceptible to COVID-19? Could some of the differences in outcomes be genetic?
Yes, our hypothesis is that there could be a strong genetic component, and this will be sort of a major focus of research going forward after we sort of get through this first iteration of the pandemic, because the genomic aspects of the pre-existing conditions in the populations, whether it be Native Americans in the West or around the country, or Latinos here in New York City or other parts of the country, or African-American or Afro-Caribbean patients, there has to be some genomic aspect that makes them particularly susceptible to this virus, even when compared to their non-minority compatriots who may have the same level of pre-existing conditions. So we, our colleagues and I were just talking about this today, that this will be a vigorous, active avenue of investigation going forward.
John, we have a question from a listener named Logan on the topic of gender.
Most of the data on COVID-19 is split into male-female categories. However, my friends and I are mostly trans, and we can't find any data on how it might affect us differently. Is there any data out there on how COVID-19 affects trans people? What about intersex people? Thank you, and stay safe.
John, what do we know about gender and coronavirus?
Well, I think you said it early on in the show that when we don't know the answer, we're gonna fess up to that. So this is generally going to be in that category. I mean, we do know something about males and females. You know, it looks like males who get infected are a bit more likely to die than females. But so far, I have not seen any statistics on trans people or intersex people. I have seen studies suggesting those groups have more health problems, report more health problems, which would raise their risk. And then there are, you know, funny things like sex hormones can affect the immune system, but not in the kind of simple way that it would necessarily affect your risk for coronavirus. So we don't know.
I think it's important to be candid about that, don't you? I mean, so not tell people what we don't know. I think that's also transparency. All right, here's a question about a disparity that is well known. This is Jessica from Loudoun County, and here's her question.
Are there many cases of older adults over 70 recovering from COVID-19, or do the vast majority of people in that age group ultimately die from the virus?
John, do we know?
Well, first of all, thanks, Jessica, for asking a question that has an answer and one that's actually not such a downer. Yes, lots of older adults recover. I mean, it's true that your odds get lower as you get older, but not by that much. So, you know, for people between 65 and 84 in the U.S., we're still looking at roughly 90-95% survive the infection. And even people older than 85, it looks like, you know, somewhere upward of 80% of them survive. So, you know, those numbers should probably remind us, one, why it's so important to keep older people from getting infected, but it also should remind us that it's not like if you pass a certain age, you're doomed.
Well, thank you for that. And thank you both, NPR's John Hamilton and Dr. Wayne Riley, president of SUNY Downstate. Thank you both so much for talking with us today and answering these questions.
Thank you so much.
If you have questions, send them to us at npr.org/nationalconversation or in social media. Use that hashtag NPR Conversation. This is The National Conversation with All Things Considered from NPR News.